It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Reality TV Happy Hour. My name is Jordan Parhar, and today we are back talking about Big Brother Canada 5 live on robbizwebsite.com. Very sorry for the technical issues tonight. Took us a little bit of some time to get this show up and running. Big shout out to old reliable Alex Kidwell coming to the rescue, saving the day. But again, sorry to everybody who was waiting in the chat room, and we thank you for those of you who are on board with us tonight. It's going to be a really fun show, and I can't wait to get into it. We already mentioned him, so let's introduce him. He's a man who wears a lot of makeups, but still is a genuine person. It's Alex Kidwell, ladies and gentlemen. Alex, how are you?
Jordan, don't be hating on my makeups. Plural. Various makeups.
I love Dre. The plural was so good. Some of the things, like there was a part of William said something tonight too, where like it just didn't translate. Like I could tell what he meant. I think he meant to say let go, but he said something else, and it was just so great. It's so endearing. Gotta love William and Dre, and you gotta love Alex Kidwell. Alex, happy to have you aboard tonight, and very happy to have this person aboard tonight. She is from Big Brother Canada 3. She knows a lot of the people on this season. She even listens to the Happy Hour sometimes. And Taryn Armstrong thinks that she should replace me as host of the Happy Hour. It's Willow McDonald, ladies and gentlemen. Willow, how are you?
I'm great. I'm great, Jordan. Thank you so much for having me again. I just, for the record, I listen to the Happy Hour. Like, I'm a fan. I'm a big fan. I never miss. Never miss it, guys. I'm a loyal fan. So thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
Well, it is an honor to have you here, Willow. Always love having you on the show. Ever since that first time, you know, we got off on a rough start on the Happy Hour. You know, that one time you hung up on me. Remember that? That was a good time.
I was in a towel.
That was good times. But, you know, we've made it. We're here, and we're going to have a lot of fun.
Memories.
Yes, we have. All right, let's set things up for you. Yes, what a road. Let's set things up for you guys watching us live. We are live on robbizwebsite.com after a couple hiccups. So thank you again for staying with us. The chat room on robbizwebsite.com is we still have it there. I think we've got one on YouTube tonight as well. But we're going to be monitoring the one on chatwing.com. So if you want to go to chatwing.com/happyhour, that's the chat room that we will be looking at tonight, just because it's too hard for me to look at the YouTube one, and I won't get into all of that. That's where we'll be looking at if you want to chat along with some people throughout the episode. We're also going to be taking your questions on YouTube. So if you have a question on we're going to take your question on Twitter. If you want to send in a question from Twitter, you can tweet me. I'm at Jordan Parhar. Use hashtag Happy Hour, and we will get into those later on in the show. And again, just to set things up for people who are new, we're going to talk about the episode first. We're going to get into live feed stuff a little later. But I don't know how, you know, maybe like 15, 20 minutes. We'll see how the show goes, and we'll go from there. But guys, let's talk about this episode. Willow, let's talk about this HOH competition, this whole backwards week. I don't even know where we want to start. It is backwards week. You are wearing your shirt backwards.
I am. Just going to go with the theme.
Just the theme. You got your backwards shirt. Alex had his backwards hoodie last week. It was good. So keeping the backwards going.
Yes, yep.
But – yeah, I don't even know where to start. I guess we could talk about Dimitri's winning this HOH here. What do you think, Willow? Would you rather talk about the HOH, or you want to talk about the whole the slop vote controversy? Both are interesting.
Both are very, very interesting. Should we go in order of the episode?
Okay, well, why don't we go? Normally I go out of order, but because it's backwards week, let's go in order. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Let's do it.
So already making a case for why she should be hosting this show right now.
Willow's great. I love Willow. I think that's going to be a thing. Hashtag Willow for Happy Hour host. That's going to be a new thing soon.
Oh, the pressure's on. Okay.
Right. So first let's talk about the POV ceremony. Netta wins the power of veto. She decides not to use it. Now, Dre and Gary have like these speeches. Dre's, I mentioned it earlier. Dre says that wearing, quote, wearing a lot of makeups doesn't make you a genuine person. And Gary responded by saying he is genuine. He's only going after people that are after him. Netta said she doesn't want to make the house nominate someone else because she doesn't like nominating. Nobody likes nominating two people to begin with. And she doesn't use the veto. Thoughts on this whole veto ceremony, how this played out, Willow, in terms of Dre's strategy of throwing Gary under the bus?
It came as a surprise to me anyway. I didn't think we're starting to see Dre like come out a lot more. I'm a big fan of Dre, and this just made me even more of a big fan of Dre, to be honest. We love a good speech. Speeches now are like, I think, the biggest thing. Like, now it's what we're looking for. Speeches are remembered. It's like almost, they're not even, it's not like they save them or anything, but it's just to be a memorable or like make an impact or anything. It's like, you got to have a good speech. And Dre's was awesome. But I think it was starting off like how they did, right? You know, veto ceremony. I thought it was like, whoa, we're jumping into this really quickly. We didn't see any like kind of negotiation or talking, which we kind of knew there wasn't much to go on there. But I realized that this was like setting us up for this jam packed episode. And it was like the perfect, like kind of like open gate there to have Dre go off and then just Gary go off, and everyone is just so awkward and just, oh, okay. Yeah, I was surprised though that Dre took a shot at Gary like that, because I didn't think they like really had that much beef with each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Were you guys surprised?
Yeah, yeah. Alex, talk. I was surprised. First question for you is, were you surprised? And also, Alex, was there any fallout from this between Dre and Gary?
I mean, you know, a big part of, I think, the reasoning and the problem is that as soon as he went on the block, Gary really went into overdrive trying to campaign and stuff. And there's really only so much you can say when you're in his position to promote yourself. The rest of what you have available to say is, you know, why the other person shouldn't stay over you. So as a result, I think there was a lot of Gary throwing Dre under the bus, and then that got back to Dre via Ika and some other people. So I think Dre, like, really, especially like going into that whole ceremony, really felt like Gary had been kind of like running her name around to everybody. And so she really was in a position to come at him. And yeah, I mean, it really just speaks to how in control some other players are in this game, that you've got the two pawns just at each other's throat, or the two targets this week at each other's throats, and no one really, you know, mounting any kind of legitimate resistance to the people actually controlling this game.
Yeah, no, I didn't expect that coming either, man. I really thought, I was like, oh, Dre and Gary are friends, right? And this happens. And I was like, oh, I guess they are not. Speaking of friends, let's talk about the slop vote. I think that is there was definitely a point of controversy a little bit over the weekend in terms of what some people thought when it was airing on feeds. We finally get a seat on the episode tonight. So they have this thing. They explicitly say whoever gets the most votes will be a have not. They have the campaign speeches. We see, you know, the what does it say? Oh, yeah. So we don't see the thing that I wanted to talk about. Sorry, I'm trying to read my notes. I'm doing a terrible job. Sorry, guys. So over the weekend, it said there was this talk, Alex, that I think it was Hamster Watch tweeted, or some people tweeted that apparently the house guests were told to, quote unquote, speak their minds. Now, we didn't see that instructions, those instructions on the episode tonight. We also didn't see really, like, we see like the videos. We saw the playback of, you know, the house guests made their votes for the, you know, the slop cookies in the people's, compartments for, you know, the person who had the most was going to end up being on slop. And then they showed the videos, and on the feeds over the weekend, Bruno was like super, super upset. And then we saw in the episode that, you know, he didn't really do anything. We didn't really get to see Kevin's thing either. From my perspective, Willow, it seemed like they really left a lot on the cutting room floor. We only got like a really heavily edited version of this, but that was just my interpretation of it. What did you think when you saw this?
Yeah, actually, I was really excited to see this part because obviously the feeds were nuts when this happened, and we were like, well, what just happened? Like, we were kind of left in the dark, and we're just going off what other people said. We're going off emotions. You know, people are like, Bruno obviously was the most upset on the feeds. So I was like waiting for like his Kevin's, I kind of got a gist of what his was, but like I was more like, oh my gosh, what did Bruno say? Because he seemed like the most upset. And I was like, he must've really laid into something. And I was actually really excited to see that. And it seemed like they kept everything pretty PG. Now I know that Big Brother is like a pretty family show, so I don't know what was said or what. It seemed like they just wanted to show like a little bit to us, and that showed like the drama that had happened with it. And also they, you got to remember edits. So it seemed like everything was like a clean edit for most people. Do you know what I mean? Like you kind of, I nothing surprised me there. I was a little sad because I really wanted to know what was said and what was done, especially with Kevin's strategy and what he was doing. And that's actually a good edit for Kevin to be shown that for us as a fans watching, right? But they left that out too. So I don't know. It was more fixated, I get it, on the Gary. It's all piling on that. But the house versus Gary is what the edit was. But I really wanted to see, you know, who was really called out, like what was, because it sounded like everyone's games were exposed.
Yeah. And we didn't, you know, and Bruno was super upset about that. And then the episode, we see him like kicking his laundry and he's so mad. But then what we saw in the episode, it just seemed like nothing. So it just, and it, from my perspective, I was just like, oh, this kind of makes Bruno like look like he's being, you know, overdramatic, when I don't know if Bruno was being overdramatic because I didn't get a chance to see what actually happened. So I wanted to see the full clip. What did Bruno say? What did Bruno do? Why was he so mad? Why did he feel like his game was ruined? Because I really didn't get a sense that his game was ruined by watching that. And then also, yeah, you mentioned Kevin, his strategy was giving the slop cookies to himself. We didn't see that on the episode either. So Alex, talk to me. Is there anything else that it seems like got left out based on what the house guests were talking about on Feeds?
I mean, they touch on it very briefly in the episode, in that conversation Kevin and Bruno are having in the have-not room, where, I mean, the main reason, and maybe Bruno was overreacting a little bit, but certainly the edit painted him as like going into a room, kicking stuff, going into another room like that. I mean, he wasn't an animal. You know what I mean? I think, you know, Bruno does get a bit of an unfortunate edit because he's playing a really good game. No one sees him in the house as being some guy with a bad temper, but he doesn't get a lot of visibility because he's lying so low effectively. And then, you know, you get this. So it's like, oh, that Bruno's a real mean spirited, short tempered guy. You know? But no, I mean, what he was really mad about is he's been putting in a lot of work the last couple of weeks, really trying to pull in Jackie, who really feels alone in the game. You know, she's in a position now, she just survived the block. She's looking for friends. Dre doesn't like her. Ika doesn't like, a lot of people don't like Jackie. And so she's like looking for someone to like throw her some rope. And Bruno and Kevin have been doing that. And then they gave her cookies and that was exposed. So it really does like undo really what his focal point has been for the last week, which is pulling in Jackie because he has everything else lined up so good. And yeah, I do think ultimately it's a bit of an overreaction, but they're having it real easy right now. You know, Bruno's in such an amazing position that like all you can do is try to get to an even better position. Like otherwise you could just sit there, but you might as well pull in another pawn if you can. So Bruno's, it reminds me of like, if you were like play Madden on like really easy, like you'd go up, like you might be up like 80 to nothing, but if you throw like a pass that looks good and the computer somehow intercepts, you're like, oh, that's ridiculous. Like at that point, you're just thinking that everything should go your way because you're playing on easy. So when one thing doesn't, you react more violently.
See, Alex, this is why I love you, because you make references to my favorite video games.
Yeah, well, it came to me while I was blathering on there. Sometimes that works out.
Madden is an NFL video game for the uninitiated about football. Willow, what do you think about Bruno's reaction in general and just the idea of this twist? Because when I first heard about this, I was very upset, because partially because I'm very biased towards the Vets. I want the Vets to do well. This was not good for the Vets. Also, I really, really do not like the idea of Big Brother broadcasting the house guest thoughts when they think they're, you know, in a they're in like a alone where they think they can be open for the purposes of the TV show. Because I feel like the more you do this, and Big Brother Canada has done this, you know, before, the more you do this, the fewer people that are, you know, the less and less we're going to see people be truly honest in moments like this and talk about, you know, their thought process and what they're thinking. That's why we didn't see Netta say anything. She just grabbed all her things and she just threw them in Gary's. She didn't say anything because Netta knows. Soon, I think, you know, we got to reach a point where everybody's just going to know. They're just not going to say anything. It's going to be boring and it's bad for the show. That's my opinion on it. What's your opinion on it, Willow?
I agree 100%. I'm surprised that more of the Vets though didn't you know, think of that and think, oh no, like they're going to leak this out. You know, that to go back, like I'm trying to think, even our season, we were always paranoid, especially because what happened with Ika and what happened with Topaz. You know, that's like your biggest fear is your game getting leaked by production, honestly. I think like that is like one of like the, especially if you're playing two sides or you're playing like this double, you know, if you're doing these, if these twists or like those things are made for like people like Bruno or people like Netta who are kind of behind the scenes who are playing these like these games or Mitch, like those games that are like the strategical, like behind the scenes, and nobody really knows what's going on and they're putting in work and they're putting in hours and times. And then those are those twists or those leaks are, that's why those games blow up. But I think that Bruno's blow up isn't even that bad. I think that edit was fine. It could have been a lot worse. Cause I watched when they were in the have not room for a while and he was really upset. And
he was pissed.
Bruno, you have every right to be, you have every right to be, especially what happened to him his first time. So I don't think it's blow up. Yeah. Like, and being on slop and you know what it's like in that house, you're just, everything is over dramatic. Like it's, everything is the worst thing in the world. I think he was just probably feeling like, this is it. Like next week I'm going, you know, you feel that you're always scared. It sucks. And I hope like in the next year that now everybody's going to be like, remember when they did that? So I think we're going to see less and less diary rooms. Maybe I think they're always going to have the characters that are very kind of, I didn't even know how to say it, but very animated and kind of like gives it in the diary room, but you're going to see less and less of those. I feel like you're going to be right.
Yeah.
Because that worry, I think there's going to be like maybe two really good characters for the DR going forward if they keep this up. And I think that to the trust and the like versus house guests and production is like a thin line.
Yeah. And that is a huge point, Willow, is the trust. I mean, if they keep messing with that trust, I mean, I don't know, like Alex, wasn't Bruno going off just saying, I'm going to sit in my room and just do nothing. Like, cause he was just like, I don't care. Like I'm
on strike.
Yeah. He was on strike. And you know what? I get it. I mean, I get where the people are saying like, oh, they needed to do something. They had to do something. There are other things you can do than this. They could have just said, oh, by the way, the twist is Gary actually, you know, I liked the twist where Gary got 48 cookies and then it flipped and Gary was actually not a have not. And the people with the least, you know, weren't have nots because it's backwards. That's great. That's a twist that's going to piss them off. It's going to give them that effect without completely just crapping all over them and throwing them under the bus. That part is unnecessary, I think. But the giving, you know, the Gary moment, oh, that's great. That's so good. Gary's so happy and Karen's like, you know, like, haha, we get the last laugh. Awesome. That's great. The fans are going to like that. That's going to make good TV on itself. Leave out that other stuff. That you don't need that stuff, personally, from my perspective. Let's talk about Ika and Jackie. That's what I want to talk to you about, Willow. I am so scared for Jackie after watching that episode. Ika, without even missing a beat, just like as her thing is airing, she just like flips off double bird to Jackie like it's nothing. And she's just like sticking her tongue out and she doesn't even care. And Jackie's trying to put on a brave face, but she's just so scared. I mean, what do you do if you're in Jackie's spot, Willow?
I ain't gonna give it to Jackie, though, is pretty like strong, ballsy. If that was me, and I know you too, Jordan, like I would be like in a ball, like hurdled, like fetal position, like
crying. Yeah.
Ika, don't hate me. Like, I'm sorry. I'll evict myself. Like, right?
Totally.
So I think she did pretty well, honestly, deal with that. And that's just, but that's Ika. And that's just, I didn't expect anything. Like, they don't like each other, but that's what kind of bothered me about this episode is that was the edit instead of what other things they could have been showing. Do you know what I mean? Like it kind of, I read somewhere too, it's just like what they were trying to edit is kind of like this like mean girl type of thing. And, you know, just everyone has beef with everyone. Everybody, it was, you know, I feel really bad for Jackie. It's really, really hard in there, but, that's just Ika. Like, that's just, you know, that's just, you just don't want to get on Ika's bad side. Like, you just don't want to.
No.
Biggest advice to anybody, if you're going in the house and you're playing with Ika, don't be on her bad side. You want Ika in your corner.
Yeah, you don't mess with Aika Wong. I mean, yeah. Cindy was saying it's an honor to get shredded by Aika Wong. No, Cindy, it's, I mean, you don't want that because Aika's scary. You don't want to mess with her. I mean, Cindy's recovered from it greatly herself, yes, after, you know, that early blow up in the season. But I mean, I guess it's an honor, but I don't know if that's an honor you really want bestowed on yourself.
But she knew not to stay on that side. Like, she knew not, you do not, like, right? Like, you want to, even anybody that's had confrontation, like, any problems with Aika or anything like that, like, look at it. They haven't stayed like that too long, except right, for now with the Jackie thing. And, you know, good on, honestly, that's just Aika. That's who she is. So good on her for
being there. Yeah. Oh, great TV. Amazing TV.
Great TV, which is awesome. And, yes. Jackie, I just hope, I feel for her though, because, you know, as a newbie, it's already so intimidating. And then to have, you know,
to have vets in there and have the vets come like yelling at you and like
literally like Aika does not like you. Like, she is like pointing at you.
It's like, you are the only one. Alex, what was the fallout from this in terms of feats? We did see we saw Cindy kind of consoling Jackie and trying to, like, you know, cheer her up. You mentioned earlier that Aika and Jackie don't get along. So this beef, up to the point in the episode where we're at, this beef is still ongoing?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. So, yeah, no, a lot of people don't like Jackie for whatever. I mean, Karen doesn't like Jackie. Dre,
why don't they like Jackie? What is it about Jackie? She seems like she's perfectly nice.
I think
smoke show.
It's the way she's gone about playing the game ever since she was the pawn up against Cassandra. It's very much like, as soon as she hears something, she runs it to, like Netta or somebody. You know what I mean? She's just like, she's trying to stay afloat. And the more she does, like, the more splashing she's making, and people are just taking notice of, like, the girl who's drowning in the ocean over here. Like, oh, someone help that poor girl or put her out of her misery. Like, that's where everyone's at right now.
Okay. Alex just killing it with the yes, metaphors tonight. Yeah, well done. Speaking of Aika, Willow, what did you think about this Aika and Dimitri controversy? Aika was very upset at Dimitri because he said, what did he say? He said he likes it when she's
like sharing a bed.
He likes sharing a bed with her, but she likes seeing her. He likes to see her in misery. Yeah. So what did you, how did you feel about Aika's reaction to Dimitri in that moment?
I'm actually, like, I'm a pretty big fan of the Aika and Dimitri. Like, I really like them. I think this season, I was a fan of Aika on season two, but seeing her now, that she, I think she's a completely different player. And I think it's nice to see this side of her. Like, her walls are coming down. Like, I really think we're getting to see, like, Aika Wong, like, the person and the player, which I think is really good for her and her game. And it's obviously really good to have Dimitri in there with her. But I really like them. They're clearly, obviously, like, they care about each other, to have those feelings. You can see that. I think Aika, you're always paranoid that someone's playing you or someone's in the diary room, especially if you start to, like, let your guard down a little bit or, like, start to have genuine right, fear feelings, or you're just scared of looking like an idiot, whether that's in front of Canada, whether that's in front of your friends or family, and whether that's just little things. And she like anybody would, you know, if those little things, those little insecurities, like, those little comments can go a long way. And so when he says things like that, it's like, well, what else is he saying? Or what else? You don't know what he's saying in the diary room. And if she's starting to really like him, like, she doesn't want to get played like that. And I completely understand. And I think he obviously was like, okay, foot in mouth. Like, you could see how he was so upset. He was so genuine. Like, he was like, okay, like, I messed up. That's what happened when production was like, play with it, have fun, guys, like, do it. And he was like, okay, like, I'll just do this. I know he didn't think she was going to go and slot, but I see where Aika is coming from. But that just shows you how much she is caring about him and how much, like, she's starting to let her guard down, because that affected her, right? And Aika, like, you see her, like, that girl is strong, like, nothing gets through her. And she was obviously hurt about that.
Yeah, we have a question actually about this. This one comes from Twitter. At Love Tour Alex asks, Alex Kidwell, are you shipping the romance of Damica?
Oh, sure. What do I?
I love that name.
What am DeMica. I? A hater? How could I?
He loves love.
Yeah, I'm. You know, good for them.
Good for them. Aren't you so happy, Alex, that there's another parody account of you? This is by far my favorite parody account, at Love Tour Alex. Whoever made that, well done.
Yeah.
Bravo.
Definitely. Yeah. That and Alex Doubtfire. quite a combination I've amassed here.
So good. So good. Okay, so that happens. I guess we get into this. So there's lots of campaigning from Gary. Gary's, lots of highs and lows from Gary. It's really a roller coaster, a ride for him this episode. He's, he's campaigning to get saved. He has Dre coming at him in the veto ceremony. He thinks he's going on slop because he gets 48 cookies. He's crying. He's so sad. Then he's happy. Then he's like, oh, crap, I have to save myself and I can't play in this HOH competition. So Gary's really like all over the place in this episode, Willow. What did you think of Gary's strategy in terms of, we didn't really see a lot of it, but just in terms of that conversation with Dimitri, in terms of campaigning, trying to get him to save him. Dimitri says he's going to save him 100%, but it was almost like Gary was like forcing him to say that. So do you think now Dimitri has one HOH? Do you think Dimitri is going to go through with this tomorrow based on what we've seen and what we know?
What we've seen and what we know. So I can talk about the feeds a little bit too.
Well, maybe we should,
I'll just stick to the episode.
Well, no, Alex, what do you think? So time for feeds? Let's just go to feeds.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that. I'm just trying to think really quickly if there's anything that wasn't covered. Obviously, that Ike and Dimitri thing lasted a long time. Like, she was mad at him for like,
how long was it?
A day. It was like a long, long, long time, like a whole like calendar day. Like, yeah, I mean, so that was like a really big
deal. That's 2 weeks in Big Brother world.
It like a really hard time getting her back. Yeah, it feels like forever when they're like, in the same house, in the same room, just like not getting along. And that it's just over, something that, he meant it as a joke. She's more reading the fact that he almost put the cookie in there than anything that's coming out of his mouth in that moment. So, yeah, it's just it was a rough situation. But, yeah, mostly – up until where the show left off, it's just a lot of, Gary trying to, gain ground somewhere. And, to me, it feels a lot like what we saw from Cass and what we saw from Dallas. It's like Dallas tried to do a little too much too early. And then he like spent all his capital. By the time he was on the block, nobody was even willing to lift a hand for him. Cassandra, same thing. She worked really hard to try to save Dallas. And then no one was there to battle for Cassandra. Gary worked really hard to try to save Cassandra, and now no one's stepping up for Gary. So it does feel like this is like a continuation of, the veterans that go stray a little too far from the path and stick their neck out a little too far, just getting chopped one right after the other right now, it seems like.
Chop shop, baby. That's right, Willow. There you go. You were in the chop shop.
Yeah, I was, I think. Chop shop. I was there.
So good. So good. I loved when you used to do the chop shop and you'd always be like, I vote to evict Cindy. And you were just so happy.
It was just me. It was just me chopping away.
Were you the only one? I thought everyone did it. Maybe not.
Maybe for 1 week. Maybe.
Oh, Greg was doing it. Greg for was as long as, he, as long as Greg lasted, for sure.
Perfect.
Greg was doing it. You and Greg. Such a great team. The one thing I do want to talk about, so we will jump to feats and we'll talk about this HOH and what Dimitri's is going to do. But I do want to get into one thing about the episode that you just reminded me about, Alex. And that is the Gary versus Netta thing during the whole ceremony where Gary put a couple of his cookies into Netta's thing.
Netta gave them all to Gary.
So
yeah, she gave them all to Gary, but he put his in hers. And then he was like, it's not my fault that you're thin. And Netta was just like, she was so mad. And they were just going back at it back and forth. What did you think about that, Willow, in terms of the edit? Cause I felt like, Netta was saying, well, Gary, you started it. So that's why I came at you, like whatever. I get where Netta's coming from, but I think the edit really painted it as, again, oh, poor Gary. Everyone's coming at Gary. We have to, we have to help him. And it's the evil Netta is doing this to him. Well, I don't necessarily think that was the case.
No.
That's a little uncalled for what he said, right? I mean,
Netta really isn't somebody also that just goes first. Like, you do have to strike Netta first for her to like say anything, or like she's just going to stand up for herself, really. And I think,
which I love. I love that Netta stands up for herself. It's great.
Oh, same here. Same. Like, we know we support Netta. But I think, yeah, that whole edit again with why they're not showing, they were just more focused on poor Gary, all the cookies on him. And I get it. It makes great TV. It's great storyline. But it didn't, even that edit though, wasn't even making sense. I couldn't even understand what they were saying back and forth. It wasn't even it wasn't even that big thing. Like, the biggest thing was, like, you're thin to Netta. And Netta's like, I don't care. I like the way I look. Which, I mean,
which is awesome, right?
Awesome. Like, and even, but Gary's somebody who's like, everybody's beautiful. Everybody is beautiful.
Right?
So I don't know.
It's like, what are you doing, Gary? Like, get out of here with that. Like, come on.
I love Gary. And I really wanted to see him, like, I'm always going for the underdog. I think everybody likes to cheer for the underdog. So I kind of was like, and I think that's what the edit's trying to do too. But I was like, come on. And Gary, like, I wanted him to like try and like flip the house just for like some good TV. It wouldn't be good for, you know, the side. But I was like, oh, Gary, I think he's just like in the corner by himself. And now he's just swinging away. Like, yeah. I think he literally is like, okay, like, I defend, he's playing alone, and I know how scary and like how, like, he must feel so defeated. And then the whole house wants you on slop. Like, I think he was just literally like swinging at everything and everyone. And I don't think it was like anything, like, he didn't really mean it. I'm sure he's going to watch that back and be like, oh, hopefully anyway. But I don't think, I think that was blown up way more, the Netta and Gary thing.
Yeah. Well, Alex, tell us, was that blown up way more than it was? Was that a thing after the have not ceremony deal?
I mean, Gary was mad at pretty much everybody. He was just like really, really mad. I mean, that's so many, like, everyone gave him all their cookies pretty much, you know?
41?
So
it was
48. I mean, yeah. So much more than even the next person. Like, Dre only had 13. So, you know, some people, Kevin, other people had been saying, like, I really hope you stay over Dre. And this really just confirmed to him, like, none of you hope I stay over Dre. Like, I'm totally going out this week. All of you people are just, like, lying to me. So, yeah, it really did upset him. And, yeah, it's not a good look for Gary, but Gary's probably going home this week. Netta's still got a game to play. And I think it's, you know, this is like, we're starting to see a little bit of like a turn to Netta's edit where, you know, and I think this would happen to anyone who got this overpowered twist. I want to clarify this, because this twist is so ridiculously powerful. And we've seen HOHs in 2 days, like, become a totally different person. Like, Tom Plant just became a king in like a day and a half. He's like, oh, I'm in charge and I get to choose who goes. It's my game, bro. I run it. I control everything. Like, it's hard not to let that affect your head. Netta has been completely safe from any ramifications of any actions she might take for weeks. And in the game, that feels like forever. Like, how could she not think, like, whatever I want to do is what's going to happen at this point, because everything is going her way. The twist is set up perfectly. So I feel like anyone, whoever got this thing, would start to be feeling a little cocky right now. I think you're seeing some of that from Netta. I don't think that's unfair or unwarranted. I would be cocky if I even won HOH playing Big Brother and I got a moment to myself, I'd be like doing some crazy thing. Everybody does it. Yeah. So this idea that Netta should be humble 5 weeks into a game that's going perfectly for her, like, it's hard. I get why people are starting to be bothered by like some elements of, you know, her talking back to Gary when she has everything and Gary has nothing. Like, of course that looks bad, but it's, you know, she's in a position where she can say what she wants. No one can nom her. So until they can do something about it.
It's Big Brother, though. And Netta's coming to play. Like, that, I don't know. I don't know if anybody expected anything less. Like, Netta is just, like, game on always. Like, I'm not surprised at all. Like, I would be surprised if she wasn't like this. Like, I would be like, Netta, right?
Yeah, right.
Like, this is, she's there to play. And I get what some people, I understand. But you, Netta's not there to be a fan favorite or anything. Like, she's there to win.
She's there to win. That's what she's going to do. Yeah. And I mean, I do get where you're coming from, Alex, with what you're saying. And yeah, I think the challenge for Netta is, it's going to be when that immunity is up, how does she shift her game and how does she change things? And I think that's super hard. I mean, from my perspective, I had 4 weeks in a row when I played where everything went the exact way that I wanted to go, like, to almost to a T. And then the 1 week where things didn't go my way, it was, everything just came crashing down and I ended up basically voting myself out. It was so bad because I just didn't know how to react when it was like that. Now, Netta is somebody who's played twice. She's been in situations before where things don't go her way, but it's been a long time since Netta's had to overcome a huge amount of adversity in a Big Brother season, because she started out as the underdog in season two. She rises up with the sloppy seconds. They pretty much run, her and John run the show on season two all the way to the end when she gets cut. And then now she's here on this time and she basically just picked up back where she left off last time and is continuing to run things. So yeah, it's, I'm very, very excited to see how Netta reacts to when this immunity is up, because I think she's got it in her. I just want to see her prove it, and I think she can do it. But I think everybody wants to see that, and I think we'll see that relatively quickly. Alex Kidwell, let's talk about the live feed, sir. Before we do that, I will give everybody a spoiler warning. I don't have Rob's song, so if you do not want to know where Dimitri is leaning in terms of the vote tomorrow, we will bid you farewell. There is a show tomorrow. I will not be on it, but it will be neither will Alex, but Brent, Melissa, and Taryn will all be here talking on reality TV or Hap Up. So definitely check that out if you want to see some post-eviction talk. All right, before we move forward, we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after this.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler
warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay, Alex, let's do it. What is happening on the live feeds? Where is Dimitri leaning with the vote?
So the last I saw, which was like right before the episode, it looked like they were still definitely he was going to get rid of Gary. Of course, that's assuming that if Dimitri says I vote to evict Gary, that it's actually Gary that leaves. We don't know because it's backwards week. Oh boy. This is what
did you guys see what Trevor Boris though tweeted out?
What did he tweet?
Because everyone was going nuts about like how like they kept saying they were wordy, you know, how we're just always speculating. We're like, they said it like this. He tweeted out, Trevor Boris is awesome, by the way. He's just like a Twitter guru now. He was like, did you not hear the announcer? He said that said Gary or Dre. So I feel like Trevor has not let us down. Where he, remember we were freaking out because we were like, Cass is going to come back for Backwards Week. He was like, but no, he, didn't you hear?
Yeah, he said it's Gary or Dre, but he did not say if hypothetically, if Dimitri's like, Gary, I vote to evict you. And then they're not like, psych, it's Backwards Week. Dre, you're out of there. See you later. Like, he didn't clarify that. So I don't know. Well, it is going to be one or the other. And we also saw that in the episode, the Big Brother voice guy who was like, previously on Big Brother Canada. That guy, he said, who will go home, Gary or Dre? So it's definitely one of the two. We just don't know. We just don't know what they're going to do. I don't
know. They can change that. Just so everybody knows, no, they can change.
They can do whatever they want. And that is why. Yep. That is why.
They've created the perfect twist for themselves where they have an out no matter how. Like, you like, it was a lot easier for me to buy the idea that, like, pre-planned week four, Canada's getting an HOH. And, like, yes, the first five was screwed, but, like, it was always set up. Before the season ever started, week five was always going to be Canada's HOH or whatever it is. Like, I can buy that. If this is all of a sudden, like, they can sell it to me, but I'm really having a hard time buying. Yeah. Like, it's just too much backwards at that point. And it's really, I mean, it was already kind of wonky just in the sense that, like, the noms didn't get to play HOH, which we didn't really talk about, which is weird. Like, Gary has to host the competition for his own life in the game. Like, right? What are we doing with,
like,
this?
Like, that's just so stupid.
It was a lot of silliness here. And, yeah, they kind of painted themselves into a corner because if Gary had been able to play and win, then what? He gets to take himself off the block, replace it with whoever he wants. Like, you can't have that. So they just created a really silly twist. And it should have been
if Gary won, it was the Pax Pro special. And if he wins, then he can vote to evict himself or he can evict Dre. That's he has to choose between one or the other. Because I think that's.
Yeah. Or maybe like the person who got the next most nominations would replace him and then he can evict one of them. Because at least then there's a reason to explain, like, okay, well, that person had votes against them, so they should have won. Like,
what? I have a question, Alex, and you probably know this. Why were the host gets told that there will be a revote if Netta used the POV? I thought it was just the person that had the next votes, but the house guests and Netta and them were all saying that no, we had to redo that all over again.
Yeah, so no, that's what I thought at first as well. There's a lot of stipulations thrown at us, like right at the start of the week. Or a day in, actually. But no, it would have, if Netta had used the POV, another vote would have taken place.
Wow.
Yeah, apparently so.
So there you go.
But Netta was never using that veto.
No, yeah, oh, Netta, yeah. Not for a second. Netta was not using that veto. But okay, so I think no matter what, guys, Gary is staying in the house. There is no chance Gary is evicted tomorrow night. Whether he manages to save himself on his own merit, or whether it's Dre who's evicted, or whether it's Dre, or sorry, Gary who's evicted, and then they're like, it's backwards week. Gary, mark my words, I'm not going to see the episode live tomorrow. So people, you can tweet me after to tell me and use hashtag Jordan was right or hashtag Jordan was wrong. But I will be floored, guys, if Gary Levy is evicted tomorrow, because they're not going to want Dallas is one thing, but then you get Cass and then Gary all three in a row. They're just not, they can't have that happen, Willow. I really don't think they can.
Like we were saying, the next, like, if Ica goes, like, where are the feeds going?
Yeah, right. Because
there's some great gameplay. There is some amazing gameplay going on here. It's been a great, I can sometimes, Alex, I don't know how you're keeping up with the feeds, because I can barely keep up with the feeds, but there's these top four people on the feeds, and they're just going one after the other. And I can't believe it. Like, these are big characters. Gary is a huge character. It's important to have Gary on there. There's a big important, like you were saying, like, I thought he's the next Justin Bieber. He is like,
whoa, Justin Bieber.
He's so big, but like
does he have an album? Like, is it,
I just mean like in Canadian, like, you know,
he's an,
like,
icon.
You were saying, yeah, he's an icon, especially with Big Brother Canada. I don't know, to see him go pre-jury. I don't know.
Willow, also answer this for me, because in the preseason, Brent told me that Gary is not a very big deal in Canada. Now, you are from the East Coast, where Big Brother Canada is huge. Yeah. Is Gary a big deal in Canada?
Gary's a very big deal in Canada.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. There you go, Brent. Yeah. Gary is a big deal in Canada. For good reason. Gary is great on the show, and it makes a lot, you know, I think the show is better with Gary on it.
Yes, I think we all do. But I will say that if Gary does leave, well, it's a catch-22, because if Dre leaves, it's better for the show, like we're talking about. But if Gary does leave, you have to acknowledge the integrity of the game. All the people who are like, oh, production just does whatever they want, like, they would clearly want Gary to stay. I think we can all agree that there's no scenario where if production had their choice, they wouldn't keep Gary. So if Dimitri's tomorrow says, I vote to evict Gary, and production's like, or Arissa's like, Gary, he voted to evict you, and it goes, you know, accordingly, then I think you have to acknowledge that, all right, they do some janky twists, but maybe we do have to take them at their word that they set it all up before the season and things just fall on the week they were supposed to fall on.
So refresh my memory. You said that Dimitri is planning on voting out Gary tomorrow, correct? The last you saw?
Yeah, well, it was even a conversation. I mean, right up until I was starting to, you know, watch the episode. So it's still something that Dimitri's and Ica were talking about tonight. It really just comes down to Ica, you know, and it was funny because earlier in the week, Ica was really thinking we should keep Gary, and Dimitri's is adamant that we can't make a move against the six already. Now today it was kind of the opposite, where Dimitri's was really considering it and Ica kind of talked him out of it, saying that we can't, you know, basically continuing the dialogue from why they didn't flip and try to keep Cass last week, which was if we make the move now, they'll replace us in the alliance with Dylan and Emily, and we'll be the next targets. Little do they realize that Ica has stuck her neck out so far and done so much back and forth at this point that Bruno, Netta, Kevin, Cindy, like, her name is already coming up as soon as next week for Alice.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So when
has this talk come up, and why has this talk come up, Alex?
It's coming up a lot today. Certainly Cindy and Netta were talking about it a bit. And it's been kind of a bit of a fracturing all over the place where – I mean, Netta had a bit of an argument with, you know, the feeds were down for a long time. There was a party, I guess, the other night, and feeds were down for the entire thing. But it seems like Netta got in an argument with Emily, but later smoothed that over, kind of. So there's just a lot of people arguing with a lot of other people and a lot of back and forth going on. But it does seem like, you know, you got a situation where Bruno, Kevin, Netta, and Cindy were all in a room having a conversation about, like, the value of either putting up Ica and Dimitri or putting up one of Ica and Dimitri or along with one of William and Dre, and just letting them figure it out. Because the problem for Ica is what she's worried about, that they can replace us with Emily and Dylan, has already happened. Emily and Dylan are super loyal to Bruno and to Netta pretty much exclusively, and they're just willing to trash anyone else and put whoever else those people want them to on the block. So as a result, I mean, it's pretty perfect. And, you know, Ica and Dimitri are, you know, actively looking around, thinking about who's threats. Dre is just going on about how she doesn't like Jackie, and Dre put all her chips on like Dylan and Emily. Like Dre seems like she's got her blinders on Dylan and Emily, which are, yeah, go ahead and take out our pawns. That's fine. So it really just becomes a situation where them are the easy targets to divert to if you're Gary this week or Ikan next week, but they're actually saying the right things, even though they wouldn't necessarily realize they're doing it because they're talking about targeting pawns instead of targets. And Gary's trying to say the right things to the right people, but instead he's telling everyone, I'll go after the big players. And those pawns are just scurrying to the big players and telling them what Gary just said.
Oh, wow. So what is, does Ika have, you said Ika was trying to convince Dimitri not to make a move against the six. So Ika is, does not, as far as you know, is not aware that the six is already planning to turn on her. Cause I saw today she was having conversations where she was saying to Kevin, like, oh, well, I think you're throwing HOHs and like,
she doesn't trust like, Kevin.
Yeah. She's like, I don't trust you. I feel like I'm doing stuff and you're not doing anything for me. That kind of thing, which is like telling somebody you don't trust them is a way for them to not trust you. Like, I think that's a bad look, right, Willow? Like, that's not a good plan.
What was that meeting, Alex? They had a meeting today. Missed that.
I'm glad you brought that up because I just jogged my memory about it. So thank you. Ika and Dimitri's, you know, after talking for a while about what are we going to do with your HOH, your sole vote to evict, there was a meeting between all six of them. And it really became a situation where, you know, they're flying so high right now that they're like, yeah, Gary this week, let's plan next week. And that's been the case for a couple of days. Like it's been a foregone conclusion that Gary's going. And the plan is next week, Dre and William on the block, Dre needs to go. Ika and Dimitri don't want that because Ika and Dimitri's here they are again with the power to flip things if they would want to. And Dre and William aren't coming after them. Dylan and Emily are. So is Jackie. So they're wondering like, why are we keeping, you know, we have power again, and why are we keeping the people that won't target you but will target us? Like, why are we doing this right now? And they basically laid it all out there, just like I'm saying it to Netta, to Bruno, to Kevin, to Cindy, which very valid point. But as soon as they left the room, those four are like, man, Ike is really just trying to, you know, get her way and push her agenda. Like, that's not necessarily what they want. Dylan and Emily are beautiful, beautiful pawns for them. So they're just trying to convince Ika and Dimitri's that we can control them. Dimitri's and Ika are like, you can't control them. And so now they're thinking like, yeah, we can, but maybe we can't control you.
Wow. There we go. So next week should be interesting indeed. Willow, you want to get into some of these questions?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's do it. This first question comes from friend of the show, Edward Morris, Edmo. Edmo asks, Willow, is this crazy week giving you flashbacks to the triple? Hashtag BBCan5.
No, not at all. I think the triple and backwards week are a little different just because the triple was so instant. The triple literally is like max 40 minutes and backwards week is a long 7 days. This is a different twist there. I don't know how to even compare the two of them because you just have like, I don't even know. Backwards week is like in its own special spot. I don't even know what to compare backwards week to.
Yeah, like, oh, no, like it's weird. Like, yeah, like Alex, like you said,
I was going to say it was super unfair, but I think the thing that really makes this one suck is that the week's almost over. And we still don't know the rules. We're still speculating about how the rules might work. At least with backwards week, it's like, well, or with the triple, it's like, welcome to the triple eviction. You're going to have an eviction followed by another crazy double eviction. And so like kind of the rules were explained, like, you know, if you do twists, like we have issues with twists and that's fine. But like when you change the game and don't tell people what the new rules are, it really just feels like something like my niece made up. And we're just rolling with like, she's like, oh, okay, well, all greens are blues now. And we're like, okay, all greens are blues now. Okay, that's how we're playing. Like,
yeah, it's like playing, if you are a millennial, it's like playing King's Cup. It's somebody's just like adding a new rule. You don't know when the rule is coming in, but the rule is going to come in where you've got to have your thumb on the table. If you don't, you're going to have to drink. And, you know, maybe next it's, you know, you got to do the moose thing or whatever. I don't know. There's like, depending on where you live, I think the King's Cup rules, dairy, but oh, I just almost dropped my mic. That was funny. Yeah, this is what happens when I'm in my kitchen is I have like my textbooks propping up my mic so it's close to my mouth.
That's student life. Hashtag student life.
That's right. No, the reason for those of you watching live, you're like, why is Jordan's background different? It was very cold in my garage and I didn't want to go there. And I'm already thinking of Reality Rally tomorrow when I'm going to be in the nice sun in California. But anyway, I lost my train of thought. Let's take the next question. This one is from BB Canada Brazil. BB Canada Brazil says, what do you think about the vets not seeing the newbies as threats and going after each other? So this is interesting, Willow, because if Gary goes, we mentioned the vets just keep eating themselves. What do you think about this? Because I did not expect this going into the season. I thought the vets would stay together at least for, you know, pre-jury. I didn't realize it would be this quick that they already turned on each other.
Yeah, that was a big surprise. You know, that week, you know, that we keep seeing that we missed like this big, you know, this big week. So the first week, obviously some serious things. It sounded like they wanted to. It sounded like everybody wanted to. I'm not too surprised, though, that certain vets are closer than others. You know, you have the season three. Like, there's just – people are just closer outside than they are, like, you know what I mean? There's outside relationships and then coming into the house. So the crew, the core there, I'm not surprised about that. I am surprised how quickly and who has been going so fastly. Like, I can't believe, like, we're almost like another vet might go pre-jury. Like, we might be sitting on three vets pre-jury. Sure. That is something.
Well, could be four. I mean, we could have Gary. That's three, right? And then one next week, that's four. That's them wiped out pre-jury. That's crazy.
And I don't think they're taking into consideration, too, like, there's power couples and what it is to have, like, a real ride or die. Like, you have – having someone that actually, like, would fight for you, like, would, like, die for you when they mean ride or die, like, in that house, that means everything. And you have, yes, Dylan and Emily are pawns and they're doing that. But if they were to team up with the French Connection, those four, and switch over, that is powerful. I don't think that they're not taking these, like, and yeah, no, the French Connection, they're thinking about targeting them or targeting whatever. But these are people, you have to realize these people will, like, vote with them. They are loyal. Same with Ike and Dimitri. Like, those three are serious. I think Cindy's playing a wonderful game, but she needs to find her ride or die, because when a triple or a double happens, you need someone that will fight for you in within that 30 or 40 minutes and do all the work for you, because that's all you have. And you need, like, your loyal do you know what I mean? Like, those.
Yeah. You need those people. You need people that won't accidentally vote you out in a triple. Those are the kinds of people you need.
I don't know if you guys have seen this, but yeah, I think it was earlier today, in fact, that the three players from your season, Kevin, Bruno, and Cindy, really locked down, affirmed the three of us. It's like, we are really, really locked in as a three. If any of us is ever on the block, we're using the veto on each other. That seems to be, like, the true power core right now, because Ika has stuck her neck out a bit. Netta has too. Those three are really playing very strong games. Some people are seeing Kevin as sketchy, but he's being protected by a lot of people. So yeah, that looks like a really strong trio to watch out for.
Netta's
saying the person she trusts the most is Bruno now. So wow. You know, Netta's really, if her number one is Bruno and Bruno's ones are Kevin and Cindy, then that doesn't bode well for Netta's long-term future.
Bruno is playing an amazing game.
Bruno's doing so good. I love watching Bruno play.
He's
this
not
game.
High on the Joker's rankings, but I really respect what he's
Who
doing.
Who cares about
Who
Joker?
Care? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bruno is doing such a good job. I love watching Bruno play. I don't know what it is. I just love – I think it's just his passion for it. I know how much he loves it.
And he's really good at pitching something that doesn't even seem like it should work. You know, he'll have conversation with Gary when he's just given Gary cookies, and the first thing we come back to on feeds is Bruno in the bathroom, like, really explaining it away. Like, it would be a situation where you would expect most people to have gaps in their thoughts or, like, really be thinking. Bruno just – it seems like he's telling you the truth. He's very good at – just keeping, you know, maintaining conversation, locking eye contact, and telling you a straight lie. And that's something that not a lot of people can do. And I think, again, it speaks to the question that we got, which is, you know, why are veterans targeting veterans and not these new players? In Big Brother, there's two kinds of players, right? And most seasons have a lot more of one and the other. There's people who can vote and people who can flip a vote. You know what I mean? The actual number of people who have played Big Brother who have the skill and social ability and know-how to flip a vote, to flip a house vote, are few and far between. There's more this season because a lot of the returning players are capable of it, but that's just it. None of these new players are. Dylan and Emily have shown no capacity to want to work with anyone else. They just want to hang out, the two of them, and like Dylan try to see if he can get somewhere with that. Dre and William are just targeting the people they feel are fake. They're not even looking at like who might have an alliance. They're just like, well, Jackie's not a real person, so let's go after her. So why would you target these people when someone like Gary can so easily convince these people who don't think to do what he wants, or someone like Ike, or really any of the veterans who are left? Because, you know, you're just not worried about Karen. You're not. I'm sorry. You're never going to be.
Hey, she's good at tennis, Alex. She's good at tennis.
And volleyball.
Pencil her in for like Final Five, man, for sure. But she's not winning this game. So yeah, keep Karen. Keep Karen as long as you can.
Man, you know, I think this to myself all the time. People ask me, Jordan, like, what do you lose sleep over at night? It must be the fact that you know your big brother game. It's not my big brother game. It's the fact that popping Paul Jackson could have been in the Karen spot if he would have just hung on for like two more weeks. He would have made it all the way to Final Five.
Yeah.
And instead, he had to just get voted out. It's just so
He would have finished third. He would have been Jerry McDonald.
He would have been old man Jerry. It would have been Paul. It would have been so good. But no, well, at least we get Karen. Karen's a good consolation prize. Although I don't like some of the stuff she's saying about Kevin. Like the Jeffrey Dahmer stuff. It's like, I'm like, what?
And she definitely means Ted Bundy, by the way. That's the attractive like serial killer. Like, I've been to the crime
she's
museum.
Combined them both. Yeah,
she doesn't even know what she's talking about.
No, she's like, oh, Jeffrey Dahmer, he's really attractive, charming, and
you're gonna compare someone to a mass freaking murderer. At least get it right, dude. That's horrible.
Yeah, terrible. Terrible.
Stuff, what are they? The hashtag
and stuff. Karen says.
Karen, yeah, stuff. Karen says. I love it. I'm here for the Bruno versus Netta. Like, that's what I'm waiting for. The Bruno versus Netta. It's not going to happen for a very, like, we got some weeks to go, but that's what I'm here for.
Hey, Bruno's got a head start for sure. Like, he's already had a couple conversations with people that haven't gone back to Netta, which is key. Like, if he can have a conversation with Cindy about we should go after Netta, like, sometime in the not too distant future, and Cindy doesn't tell that to Netta, that's big, I think.
Man, that's... Well, before we get to Bruno versus Netta, we have another question. This one's from Taylor Allen. Taylor asks, Willow, who do you think will win in the war between Ika versus Netta?
Oh my gosh, Ika versus Netta. Is this after her after her safety?
I'm assuming, I guess that's what we're thinking.
Yeah, we're assuming, well, but
when does it end? It's she's got another week after this one, right?
Yeah,
so technically Netta's got a head start because she's safe for two more weeks.
Get her without being able to be gotten herself, technically.
Yes.
Yes, yeah.
So what do you think? What do you think, Willow?
I don't know. I don't feel like I don't know. In my gut, I feel like Ika's not going to go next week. I don't want to jinx it, but I don't want to jinx it, but let's say I don't see Ika being in. I think they're obviously she's on the radar, but like there's bigger fish to fry. There's other things to do.
Yeah. I think it depends on who wins HOH.
A select few would have to win HOH. I agree. Cause what the other vets want to do is have a pawn do that move for them. That's the kind of blood you don't really want to get on your hands if you're one of these vets, especially since Ika might then make jury. So the dream scenario for them is like, go ahead, Dylan, go win that head of household and take out Ika or Dimitri's for us. That's beautiful. Like, that's what they're hoping for.
Wow. Right. And that's smart. And it's completely smart. I think the only way that Ika beats out Netta is Dimitri's like, no, I don't.
If Ika to beat out Netta, she's going to have to first just somehow recover from this incident here and
get Dre and William right back as like the number one duo that needs to be targeted. Cause that was the case when this week started, but now it seems like it's shifting. So yeah, she needs to get the French Connection back on everyone's radar if she can.
So then that poses the question, what is better for, I mean, if we're talking about this war between Ika and Netta or Ika and the Six, what is better for Ika's game then at this point? Is it to keep Gary in the game or to keep Dre in the game and to try to fade back a bit? Willow, what do you think?
I don't know. I was thinking that today. Gary, he's a great player and he plays alone. He really, really does. I know, like, I want to say like, oh, like if Ika and Dimitri save him, that he would have the loyalty, but Gary's there to win too. Gary already got to final two. He's there to win. So I think he'll go wherever he's got a great social game too. Like, he really does. And he, it's not like he's just going to like be like, okay, the lines are drawn. I'm back in the house and I'm not going to work with you guys. He's open to working with people and things like that. So I don't know if Gary's still being in there, because say they save him, they're still like, okay, well, now we know they're super sketchy. Now we know they're not working with us. Now we really don't. If Gary goes, it kind of buys them like a week. It kind of buys them maybe a week or two. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it also, they are like more like, yes, like it's Netta versus Ika, but Dimitri still kind of has some good like relationships with them over there. And that's what's kind of saving, I think, both of them. But I think if they do that, it just like, it ruins everything. Like it's the six now versus them. Like it's, there's no way they can mend. There's no going back on that. So it's best maybe if Gary goes, but I don't know. But like, I really don't know.
I think the best case scenario is if Gary stays by accident,
right?
If Dimitri,
plausible deniability. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If Dimitri votes out Gary and then Dre goes instead, because it's backwards week.
Dimitri was like, why, you know, they talked about the possibility of like, why don't I say I vote to evict Dre? And then when Gary stays, I could be like, I thought they were going to backwards week me. Like, I really. So he's even talked about the reverse of selling the lie. Like, I like that a lot. That's a decent play, because it gives you some degree of plausible deniability, even if everyone doesn't believe it. Like, at least people are wondering, like, could he really be that stupid? Which is a good thing. I think you want people thinking about you in the house. Ultimately, it's tough because that's why I think that a lot of people have been talking going into this week about nomming Dre next to William, because they're a pair. But then once everyone got to nominate anonymously, it really created this great opportunity to put up Gary without Gary knowing who put him up. And that's why these two noms were so great here for everybody that's like in the majority of the six that's not Ika and Dimitri's, because Ika's really close to Dre. So it really put her in a bind where, like, in order to flip and keep Gary, she's got to not only take out another person who would work with her, but in doing so, like, Dre is keeping William to doing whatever she wants. With Dre removed, who knows what William does? They can't accurately predict that. Gary says he can rope him in, but that's only, you know, all you have to go on is Gary's word, and you don't even know that you trust Gary. So it really did limit Ika's options the moment Gary was up against Dre, because that's one of the few people she has left to work with that aren't already in the six, or Dylan or Emily, who seem pretty much fine with the idea of being the alternate two to be on the side of the six. Like, they're not looking for anything better. They're fine with the deal they think they have.
Yeah. Interesting. Let's see. How many do we have? Let's take two more questions. This one is from Nikki Philly. Nikki says, will Ika and Dimitri's plan to get Cindy to be closer to their side by letting her talk about herself work? Alex, I haven't heard about this plan. Is this a plan?
They talk about a lot. Ike and Dimitri have spent a lot of time talking this week, obviously, especially because Dimitri has full control over what happens the rest of the week. Nobody else has really anything to do. So it's a lot to, you know, mull over. But again, I think this is just one of those things where it's an idea, you know, you want to pull in Cindy, but they've been spending a lot of time with each other, with Dre, with other people. Like I talked about, Cindy just affirmed this morning she has a really locked in solid thing with Bruno and Kevin. So they could put in that time and put in that work, but I don't know that they'd ever supersede the season three alliance that seems to be really, really strong.
Does Cindy seem to recognize that that Kevin and Bruno are, you know, more tight with each other than they are with her?
That's the thing. Like, I don't know that that's necessarily true. Like, I think she and Bruno have potentially had conversations even about, like, you know, I wouldn't necessarily go with Kevin. I would go with you. I think Cindy is, like, you know, strong enough in that group to believe that she would have a chance to go to the end with one of them. Or if not, that certainly going down to the end with them and Netta, or them and a couple other people, is like a great endgame scenario for her, because they've all agreed. I mean, look, if any of us go on the block, we're saving each other with the veto. This is something we're always going to tell each other if somebody says one of our names. Like, if you have three people all holding true to that, they should get to the end of the game. That's really powerful.
I think she makes final two, 100%. If she can get over like a double or a triple, like, that's usually, like, you know, or because she
could go haywire. Yeah.
Yeah. Can go like kind of like those are, I'm calling it now. Cindy with an S will be in final two.
I'm calling it right now. And I called it a few weeks ago. Cindy will win this season. Cindy's in the best spot. Cindy's going to win this game. She's doing a good job.
People are sitting next to Bruno.
Well, you know what?
I mean, who knows? Bruno's playing a phenomenal game, but that's the person who could potentially get twisted out of this game. You know what I mean? And then Cindy looks not super good.
But. Yeah, not Cindy. If you look at the popularity, Cindy's more popular right now than Bruno is. So,
And it's interesting because she's not doing any of the work that they are. Like, if this game were to play out standard, she might be in trouble in the late game because everyone else is cultivating pawns while she's just like sticking to. She's like, I've got a majority alliance. I'm good. Why do I need to waste time?
It's like what you were talking about earlier, Alex. You're like, Bruno. The only thing Bruno can do is try to get in a better position than he's already in, or he can just
Cindy's,
kill and be like,
Cindy's
I'm good.
Staying.
Cindy's like, hey, I'm
blackjack.
Good.
She's like, yeah, we're cool. Yeah, I'm not hitting on 19. I'm gonna stay right
she's
here.
Just,
yeah.
She's just gonna call all game. She's just gonna call if we're playing.
She's gonna start beasting out watch probably, I wanna say, final 7. She probably starts like that girl. You saw she can do any endurance that she can
the
like
other thing too with Cindy as well that is underrated. Yes, the endurance, Willow. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but Bruno, I think it was this morning, Bruno was talking to Dimitri about how Cindy has like memorized everything in the house, like in terms of like days and everything.
Wow.
So Cindy is, she's prepped. Like if she's in endurance, she's got it. If it's a mental comp, she's got a good shot at it. I really think Cindy is in a great spot. And I think there's some, I think she's throwing a lot of these. That comp today in the episode, she was fine. She was asleep. And then she just like kind of like rolls up. Cindy easily could have won that if she wanted to win. So
a lot of people threw that. You can see when someone throws it. You really can.
That was something that led to some of the conversation about Ika too, is that I believe it was Ika. I almost want to say Netta. Well, it was a conversation, I think, between Ika and Netta, but I think it was more Ika who was saying, like, I think Cindy threw that competition and it makes me mad that me and Dimitri have to do, you know, all the work when like the other members of the Alliance aren't. And I think that's, you know, something that Netta immediately shared with Cindy so that that's now created a bit of a divide between Cindy and Ika where Cindy is now remembering that Ika thinks that about her. And it's come up a couple times with conversations with Kevin and with Bruno and other stuff. So that was just another little thing that Netta used to kind of like further distance Ika from the rest of the group. I think there's, the one other thing, or I guess there's two things that we should talk about from the feeds that happened. Like the one is that yesterday, Jackie was keeping like basically a, she was trying to like, keep track of things like the things that Cindy has already counted and memorized. Jackie's trying to like keep track of the days and she's like using like
calendar,
like noodles and glue. She's making some like little kids art project. You know, not many people knew about it. Jackie had been getting close to Kevin and Bruno. I think she told them. Cindy knew. I think she, you know, Ika found out. I forget who told Ika. I think it might have been Cindy. Ika goes up there and smashes it. I mean, just totally shreds Jackie's cheat sheet. And leaves the room, and Jackie comes in a little while later and looks at it and says, Ika did this. And now Jackie feels like she's the new Heather, where Ika's just picking on her for no reason, and she's just like a total victim.
She is kind of like
Deja vu. Yeah.
Got a little bit of Heather qualities. Wow. Okay. Poor. I mean, here's the thing, though. Here's what I will say about Jackie's macaroni homework project. Why is she allowed to do that to begin with? Like,
That's not cool in BBUS. Like, they tried to make cards out of mustard and paper towels.
We did that on our season, Alex. Kevin tried to make he made a whole deck of cards. Willow, you were there that day, remember?
We were Cindy came back that day.
Yeah, Cindy came back that day. We were playing cards with paper towel and mustard, and Kevin and Peely made them, and it was awesome. And we were playing, and then Big Brother was like, no, you can't do that. Let's take that back. Yet they're letting, maybe they knew Ika was going to smash the macaroni thing. I don't know. But you know what? I feel for Jackie, but at the same time, I don't, because nobody else is allowed to get away with that. I don't see why they were giving her preferential treatment on that, Alex. So that's my take on that. What was the other thing you wanted to talk about on feeds?
The other thing was a lot of people expected some kind of punishment to come from this. Dylan and Emily were like doing like weird stuff with candy and then making people eat it.
Yeah.
Like I think the only ones that actually got ingested were ones like Emily had licked. But apparently like, Dylan was like rubbing them on his balls and stuff like that and trying
Didn't
to.
Didn't Dimitri's like, get that one, I thought?
So they were definitely feeding Dimitri's candy, but like feeds came back later and it seemed like maybe someone had talked to them or something, because they were now all of a sudden saying like, man, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Or like every time someone has a total, like feeds go down and their opinion has totally changed, they're like, I wonder if someone spoke to them. But I think from what they were trying to say, maybe they were just doing their own PR because they realized it was really bad. But Emily tried to say like, no, it's just the ones I licked at. Anyway, like we threw the bad ones out. We threw like the really gross ones out or something. But in any event, it's just like, this is like, this is why no one's, this is why no one's worried about these pawns, you know, or these newbies. You know what I mean? Like, Karen is Karen. Jackie is just worried about how she feels like a victim and everyone's out to get her. Dre and William are targeting Jackie, Dylan, and Emily. So fine for the vets. And Dylan and Emily are just like hanging out, thinking of stupid things to do, like rub candy on their balls. So that's why no one's targeting the newbies.
Oh my goodness.
In a nutshell, if you will.
Old reliable at it again. Yeah, well, I don't know if I have any. I don't really want to talk about this. You want to talk about it?
I thought he was going to say there was a punishment because I was waiting for that or something, but I guess not. But
yeah, no, it's just, you know, I don't like this, but you know, it happens every season. It is what it is, right?
It
used to. Oh, it's the last couple seasons it's been happening, Alex.
Yeah.
Is there something going on tonight on the feeds? I saw right before we got on there might have been some discussion or something.
Yeah, I mean, it did seem like, you know, certainly I saw some talk going on that Dimitri was really, again, considering, like, you know, do we need to keep Gary? Because I think they don't necessarily realize it. Maybe they're, like, on the surface of it. But if they get rid of Gary and for whatever reason, you know, Dre and William aren't, like, immediately, like, it's just going to be really hard for them to rally the numbers. I think if Gary could stay and somehow rally in William to their cause, that's ideal, because Dre wants to target Jackie and Dylan and Emily. And what Ike and Dimitri's really need right now is an ally who's going to go after Kevin and Bruno and Cindy and Ned, the heavy hitters. And that's what Gary wants to do. Right. He's like the one person advocating for that. So that's the selling point for keeping Gary. If you can't convince Dre to do that, then maybe you are better off keeping Gary. It's tough.
Yeah, tough predicament. I mean, again,
because Dre brings a number and, you know, seemingly more loyalty, but Gary brings the plan of attack that you want. So that, yeah, they're in a tough spot.
Yeah, I think that's why, like, the whole Dimitri plan of being like, hey, no, like, I wasn't sure, you know, I'm going to vote out Dre because I thought it was going to get rid of Gary. And then maybe that can be a pitch to be to William. I have no idea, but it's I'm excited. It's the week's going to get reset tomorrow. Going to be crazy. Probably Netta's last week of safety. So we'll see how that unfolds. Last question. This one's from Matt Brody. Matt says, is Netta the Big Brother Canada equivalent of Harvey Dent? And Alex Kidwell, I'm sure you know this quote. Can you please recite reference. This quote?
Yeah, well, you die the hero like Cassandra, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain like Netta. Yeah, absolutely. And I do think, you know, again, if this twist has made it impossible for her to not do anything other than really establish a strong position and really just begin to continue to control from there. If anyone else had gotten, think about it. If Dallas had gotten this twist, everyone would be so, so anti Dallas right now. Can you imagine, like, 5 weeks of Dallas
boy,
I'm safe, bro. Woo! People would be so over it. So I just think it's, you know, whoever got this, we were going to see their most confident Big Brother personality ratcheted up even further. And yeah, a lot of fans, from what I'm seeing, are kind of turning on Netta. And, you know, I think it's a shame because I think that she's going to be in trouble sooner than a lot of people think. Like, as soon as this immunity runs up, it's not lost on a lot of people how many comps she's already won when she didn't need to win them. So she's going to have to do work very soon. A lot of the people that are mad that she's getting a free ride, that stops rather shortly. So
she's going to have to do work, and she will do work. I got faith in Netta.
She's been putting in work. I have to give her that. She is definitely putting in work.
Yeah.
I think the whole hate, like, I don't know why. I try to put myself in the fans' shoes as well. I try to, because I know Netta and I know with Cassandra, but the fans were so upset about the Cassandra and Netta not working out. But this isn't, it's Big Brother. This isn't, you know, like, and I'm not comparing the two or anything, but I'm just saying, like, okay, like, you go in and you're like, Dr. Will and Dan are probably not going to work together, right? I'm not like,
yeah, saying,
like,
no, that's totally it,
that's
right?
Not the perfect world. That's not how Big Brother works, people. I'm sorry. Like, it's just not. I know. I would love for them to ride into the sun together, but it's not going to work. And I think that's where Netta is getting the
that
hate
dream
from.
Hunger Games ending, where, like, two people state of production, like, no, we'll take poison rather than
we'll walk out the house together and live off nothing. we don't need money. We have love. No, yeah.
I would say all that, and then as we get to the door, I'd be like, screw you, I'm sorry.
And that's like, and I think Netta's, I think she's going to be, I think she might be okay actually after week five, or I don't see anyone going after, but I think season three will start to go, she doesn't see it coming. And I think that's her biggest worry. That season three is deadly. Yeah. But if she can pull Cindy over with her closer and see, hey, look at these two guys, we might have a disco party here. There, guys. I'm pretty excited.
Yeah, no, it would be good. It would be fun if season three represented, or yeah, I think regardless, it's going to be entertaining though, how this all unfolds. I think.
Yeah.
Especially it is, with Gary Stace tomorrow, Alex.
Yeah, it is unfortunate though that, yeah, I mean, Netta's, you know, for better or worse, her legacy in this season is going to be determined by what happens as soon as she's no longer safe. Like, fans are just going to remember, like, if it turns out that, you know, she can't undo that first week and like it's totally against her, fans are gonna be like, oh, see, without the twist, she was terrible. But no, it wouldn't have been the twist. I mean, the twist certainly put her in a position, but man, she's done a lot of really strong work. I mean, if you look at the way Dallas was buried before he even got before he's even on the block, the way Cassandra's buried before she's even on the block, the way Gary's buried before he's even on the block, the way everyone knew to nominate Gary and Dre before the twist even hit, like, that's all Netta just putting in work. So, like, even if you don't like the fact, the way the game is going, I mean, for me at least, I think you have to respect the games that Netta, Bruno, some of these people are playing, because they're just so subtly strong.
Very, very, very strong games. And yeah, I'm with you. Netta would be in this spot without the twist at this point, with all the comps she's been winning. Yeah. She's put her fate into her own hands. She's proven it. We'll see how long she can keep it up. And I'm excited to see what rabbits she's going to try to pull out of the hat, because I think it could get a little – it's going to be an uphill battle. She knows that. So can't wait to see what happens tomorrow. Alex and I won't be here to watch it live because we'll be at Reality Rally. But before that happens, we're going to say goodbye tonight. Willow, thank you so much for joining us. This was so much fun. Do you want to let people know what you've been up to on the internet lately? Because you're doing some cool stuff.
Yeah, I've just been like watching the feeds and stuff. And
your YouTube channel, Willow. Oh! You want to talk about that? Come on.
What have I been doing on the internet? Yeah, I mean, I've been me and my partner Allison and I have just been, we started YouTube. I actually love it. I'm addicted to it. I'm not like good or anything, but just like showcasing my life here in Vancouver, and like I traveled to China and it was wild. And yeah,
we almost died. It was great.
Almost died. Almost didn't get out of the country. They didn't want to let me leave. It was pretty intense. So yeah, I've just been trying out the YouTube stuff. I love it. So if you want to check it out, it's probably not for everybody, but you know, sometimes I talk Big Brother, sometimes I don't. so yeah, that's what I'm doing right now, is just doing some YouTube and enjoying the BC rain. So you guys have fun tomorrow.
Thank you. We will have fun, Alex. How excited are you, man? It's going to, well, I mean, you're just driving down the street. Like,
reality. Driving down. That's right. It's a bit of an easier commute now.
Yeah. So that's going to be good. I'm flying out tomorrow morning. Peter Brown and I, our flight leaves at 8:55 PM, not PM, AM. So we're going to leave bright and early. It's going to be good. We're excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. But as I mentioned earlier in the show, I will not be here tomorrow. So I will not be hosting the show. Alex will also not be there. So Taryn will be hosting the show tomorrow. Brent and Melissa will be on with him as well. They'll be recapping the eviction, talking about who the new HOH is. Lots of great stuff. Make sure you follow Taryn on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. He'll be tweeting out links and stuff for that. And he can keep you up to date. You can also subscribe to the podcast to make sure you never miss an episode. You can go to robinswebsite.com/rehapups. That way you get all of the Rehappy Hour episodes and you get all of the other Big Brother coverage and all the other stuff that's happening on reality TV Rehapups. Lots of podcasts that are happening. RuPaul's Drag Race, Amazing Race podcasts are on there. Lots of good stuff. Just to let you guys know, so just to give you guys a schedule for the next little while, because I'm gone for this Thursday. I'm gone next week as well because I have a final exam. So just to fill you in on the next few shows, Thursday, Taryn's going to host with Melissa and Brent. Sunday, there's going to be an LFC live feed roundtable show. So stay tuned for that. It's going to be the first one of the season. Just the LFC are going to hang out and talk, give some live feed updates. So that's going to be really good. Nice. Monday, Rob's going to be back. He's going to be hosting with two members of the LFC. Wednesday, I'm not going to be here because I have a final exam. So I believe Taryn is going to host again. And then Alex, I don't know what the combo is of LFC members are, but there's going to be some LFC members with them that night. And then next Thursday, so not after tomorrow's eviction, the week after, I will be back. I will have a guest. Don't know who it is yet. We will let you know. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'll see you guys there. Guys, hashtag for tonight. I think if there's any ideas in the chat room, maybe hashtag Willow for happy hour host, or Alex to the rescue since you saved this podcast. What do you guys think? What do you prefer? Alex to the rescue. No, you know what? we're gonna go with instead. Oh, here's one. Here's a simple one. Hashtag Willow replace JP.
There you go.
That's from Noah in the chat. I like that. That one's better because it flows a little bit nicer. So
okay.
Hashtag Willow replace JP. Check out Willow's YouTube. Highly recommend it. It's just Willow McDonald on YouTube, right?
Yeah, Willow Faith.
Willow Faith on YouTube. So check out Willow's YouTube channel. Follow Willow on Twitter. She's @Low_Faith. Alex is @AlexKidwell. I am @JordanParhar. We thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next time. For Alex Kidwell and Willow McDonald, I'm Jordan Parhar. Hashtag, I almost forgot. Hashtag, no, it's hashtag Willow replace JP. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Peace out. The theme song of the reality TV Happy Hour is written and performed by Ryan Elder. Check out more of his work at ryanelder.music.com.